As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
Satan is going everywhere he can looking for lives to destroy. And your hope and my hope is not found in therapy. It's not found in religion. It's not found in spiritism. It's not found in signs. It's not found in experiences. Your hope and mine is found in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Rooted Vineyard.
In our text this morning in John chapter 15, Jesus is now spending his last hours with his disciples. He has been with them in the upper room. They have now had the Passover supper, and Judas has risen, and he has now begun his steps of betrayal. He has left the 11 other disciples, he has left the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is about to betray the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus begins in the upper room to give the teaching that we find in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15, and he continues that teaching on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would sweat, as it were, great drops of blood because he was about to bear the sin of the entire world. And in the text before us this morning, Jesus uses the picture of a grapevine to describe what it is to be attached to him and to bear fruit in him. Maybe he was walking by a grapevine and saw that this would be an opportunity to use the analogy to describe the spiritual life of the believer. Whatever the case, Jesus was wanting his disciples in these last hours before he would ascend up to heaven. He wanted them to realize that God had a purpose for their life, and that his purpose for their life was that they would be as a rooted vineyard bearing fruit for his glory. In fact, he specifically says that in verse 16. And if you have a Bible, look there in verse 16 or in your notes. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you." Notice that it says there, I have chosen you and I have ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. The word ordain means that God had appointed them to this task. He had grafted them into the vine, Jesus Christ, for the purpose of bearing fruit. In other words, being a Christian is more than just kind of a name-only thing. God says, I have ordained you with a purpose in mind. Back in 1983, I was ordained as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that special night in my life, the pastors and deacons of the church laid hands on me, and they prayed for me, and the church body acknowledged God's calling, and they set me apart. And what they were saying is, you are being ordained to the gospel ministry, and they prayed that night that I would see fruit in the gospel ministry. I was set apart for that purpose. Well, Jesus says in John 15 that every Christian is ordained. Every Christian is set apart. God wants all of us to bear fruit. If only the pastors are bearing fruit, America will never hear about Jesus. We will never see this country change. We will never see revival come. God says, I have ordained for all of my children to be rooted and to bear fruit. And so today, we want to learn that the importance of being rooted in Christ is that we might bear fruit for Jesus Christ in these days. If you have your outline this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the provision for growth. God has given us a provision today. He has provided a way for every one of us to grow in His Spirit and in His power. And I want you to see that in verse 1. It's very simple, but very profound. The Bible says in John 15:1, I am the true vine. Would you say those words with me, please? I am the true vine. Now, we cannot bear fruit on our own. In other words, there's nothing good or spiritual or eternal that I can produce. I can't muster that up on my own. So the Lord is going to provide the means whereby I can bear fruit, whereby you can bear fruit spiritually. And the provision that he has given is twofold. First of all, he gives to us his life, not only in the sense of the cross where he died, but in the sense of his spirit living through us each and every day. You'll notice the first words of this parable or this teaching which say, I am. Jesus used the I ams many times in the New Testament. He said, I am the door, I am the bread, I am the light. I am the true vine. In other words, Jesus is not just another religion. He's not just another teacher, but he is the source of our life. He is the life of the believer. He is the true or genuine vine. Now, there's a lot of bindweed in the world today. There's a lot of false religion in the world today. There's a lot of stuff crawling around that talks about God, but Jesus says, I am the I am. He said, I am the true vine. 1 John 5:20 says it this way, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. This is the true God and the eternal life. Now catch that last phrase. This is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus, when he says, I am the true vine, what he is telling us is this. He's saying, I am the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. There are many other types of bindweed and many other types of plants that travel around. But he said, I am the Son of God. And so he says, I provide for you my life. But notice secondly in this verse, number one, he says, I am the true vine. So the provision that he's going to give us is, first of all, his life. He said, I'm going to give you my life. But he's also going to give us his truth. He gives us his life, and he gives us his truth. Now, if you would, notice in your notes, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul the Apostle says, and this is a very special verse to me, and I think all of us can learn from it. He says, I am crucified with Christ. That is, when Jesus died, my old flesh was crucified. I reckon myself to be dead to sin. I am dead. My old self is dead. I am crucified with Christ. But he says, nevertheless, I live. All right? Well, how do you live, Paul? He says, nevertheless, I live. Notice he says there, I live. But it's not I. It's Christ living in me. So you see, when we talk about the vine and the branches, we are talking about his life through us. It's Christ living through me. God's provision is his life through us in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And he says, not only am I going to give you the very essence of your spiritual life, but I am going to give you my truth, because he says, I am the true vine. This teaching was given to the disciples just prior to Jesus' death. And the disciples had thought that maybe Jesus would bring about the kingdom during his earthly life. But the Bible says he came unto his own received him not, he was rejected, he was crucified. And so Jesus says, I'm going to leave you my life through the Spirit of God, and I'm going to leave you my truth through the Word of God. And so when we say that he's provided his truth, he's done that in two ways. He did that by coming to this earth. For the Bible says in John 14 in verse 6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. So Jesus Christ is the truth. If you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen very carefully. The Baptist Church cannot cover your sin. The Catholic Church cannot cover your sin. You are not good enough to get to heaven on your own. You will split hell wide open without Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." You see, Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. But not only is he the truth, but Jesus has left us the truth. The Bible says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth," Jesus said to the Father. "Thy word is truth." Would you say those last words with me? Thy word is truth. So Jesus is truth. But the word of God is also truth. And you see, the provision that Jesus has given us is his life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the provision that he has given us is his truth. Thy word is truth. Now, many times today, people seek for the truth and never find it. There was a television show a few years ago called The Nature of Existence. It was kind of a documentary. And they were discussing truth and how to find truth and how to know truth. And in the documentary, the narrator began to ask questions. So the narrator first asked one of the panelists, which was a Hindu priest, and said, "How do you define the word truth?" And the Hindu priest said in his native tongue, and then they interpreted, "By worshiping the gods, you can find truth." And then they asked a Taoist, and this Tao cleric said, "Anything that runs counter to God is not the truth." And then the narrator asked Alan Segal, a professor of religion at Columbia University. And like so many of the so-called professors of religion, he said, "When somebody claims to know the truth and claims to be able to tell it to you, you better check to see if you still have your watch, because that's the prelude to getting taken." In other words, anybody who says they know the truth is some kind of a con artist in his mind. Then they asked Julia Sweeney, the author of Letting Go and Letting God, and it was a book about understanding God in science, and she said, "In science, we don't use words like truth. We might say you're getting closer to the truth, but we really don't know the truth." Then they asked the director of Star Wars, Irvin Kershner, and The Empire Strikes Back, and his answer was, "Only art comes close to finding the truth. You can only find the truth in art." By the way, how many of you can't even tell what the art is half the time, right? One of our council members was so excited the other day, he told me, "Oh, we have a modern art display downtown Lancaster." I said, "And?" That's supposed to get me excited. I said, "I can't even tell what that stuff is." But anyways, that's another story. If I have to find the truth in modern art, I am utterly lost. I'll just tell you that much. Finally, they asked a 12-year-old child they had invited to the panel. And the 12-year-old child said, "Well, I think truth is what we're all searching for, isn't it? Even though sometimes it seems to be more fun searching for it than actually finding it." In other words, it was amusing to the 12-year-old that all these adults with all their education are talking about it, but they don't seem to know where it is. And yet I want to tell you something, friend. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and when you realize that he alone lived a perfectly sinless life and he alone conquered death and the grave and he alone in all of human history exited that grave by the power of God and is seated at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," then it is only reasonable, my friend, that we would come to him and realize that he is the truth and settle it right there. Jesus said, "I want to provide for your growth. I'm going to provide life. The very essence of your life spiritually is going to come from me, the vine. I'm going to provide truth so that you will know how to live that life." Well, we see the provision for growth, but I want you to notice, secondly, this morning from John 15, the progression for growth. It's one thing to be born again. I've seen a lot of people who said they were born again or said that they got saved, but that was kind of it. They reverted back to their old angry ways. They reverted back to their old lustful ways. They just were miserable all the time. They rarely seemed to open the Bible. There just was never any growth.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.